Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 41. If you'll remember in the previous chapter, the baker and the cupbearer had dreams that Joseph interpreted, told the one man, within 3 days you're going to get your job back. And when you do, remember me and speak to Pharaoh on my behalf and get me out of here. Told the other gentleman, within 3 days, you're going to be dead. Now, in chapter 41, we pick up the story again. Joseph has said, "Please get me out of here." Chapter 41, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, but no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming up and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And the men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah, and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the field surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Who could orchestrate this? Who could plan all of this and bring it to pass? Only God. When do you think God decided this was the way things were going to work out? Kind of making it up as he went along? No. Before the beginning of time, God knows all things. Before you figure out what you're going to say, God knows what you're going to say. God knows everything. And God is in control of everything. He decides what will happen. He decides what's going to come to pass. Does that mean that people have no responsibility for our actions? No, it doesn't mean that at all. The Bible makes it very clear that we are answerable to God for what we do. Does it mean that God is pleased with everything that people do? No. People do things that are in opposition and rebellion against God, but only to the extent that God has decreed that that will come to pass. The most evil thing in history was Jesus being crucified on the cross, and it was the fulfillment of God's plan. You say, well, Pastor, I have real trouble making all of that fit. Well, welcome to the human race. This is one of the characteristics of having a finite mind, that is, a limited mind. We don't understand how it all works, but there are some things we do know. God's in control, and we're responsible for what we do. You cannot be true to Scripture and abandon either of those things. We're responsible for what we do. God's in control. God's in control. So does God make me do bad stuff? Not at all. Well then, if he's not making me do it, how can he be in control? Because if God wanted to stop your breathing, he could do it like that. God spoke the universe into being. He is totally, totally capable of carrying out his plan. But part of his plan has been to give us the capacity to make choices, including choices that are defiant toward him. But it doesn't change the ultimate outcome. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. God's, I mean, it's like, well, how can he possibly take that and make something good out of it? Well, I don't know, but watch. Because God takes people's failures, people's imperfections, people's rebellion, and God uses it to accomplish his ends.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at wvr.org. That's wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, in this story, God's plan is unfolding. And after 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Now, did Joseph immediately know that Pharaoh had had a dream? No. To Joseph, it was just another morning in jail. He's suffering. He describes his living conditions as being in a dungeon. I mean, there's just this horrible, oppressive, total loss of freedom. He used to be the slave in charge of Potiphar's house. Now he's the slave who's in charge of the prison in Potiphar's house. And to Joseph, it was just another day, but not to God. This was the day that God had appointed. This was the time when it was going to happen. This was the moment when things were going to shift dramatically. Pharaoh had a dream. And in his dream, he sees, try to picture this in your mind, 7 beautiful, fat cows. And all of a sudden, after he's enjoying that, wow, that's really good. Egypt really produces some fine cattle. All of a sudden, up come 7 gaunt, skinny cows. And then they ate the fat cows. That would be gross. Cows aren't supposed to eat meat. And he had to watch the whole thing because when they were finished eating the fat cows, they were still skinny. I mean, it was like, ah, you can't even tell they ate them. And then he wakes up. He says, oh, what a horrible dream. Oh, that was terrible. Oh, boy. Never had a dream like that before. He falls back asleep, and he has the dream about the 7 heads of grain. Oh, nice crop. This is a happy dream, I'm thinking. And suddenly here are these little withered up, shriveled heads of grain that eat up the fat heads of grain. And Pharaoh wakes up again. And notice the phrase that's used. It says in verse 7, then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. Okay. Do you ever feel like that when you wake up from a bad dream? It's like, oh, what am I going to do? Okay, it's just a dream. That's what happened to Pharaoh. Twice in one night. Who gave him those dreams? God. What does it mean? What does it mean? So he calls for all his counselors, all the wise men, all the magicians, all the people who know about supernatural stuff and psychology and so forth. He calls them all in and he says, let me tell you what happened last night. You can picture them, you know. I mean, Pharaoh. I don't know if he was like most people who are in charge of things. But, you know, you're always having to listen to their stories. You know, and it's like my poor staff, you know, it's like, oh, I've heard this story so many times. But here comes all the staff gathered together. Pharaoh tells them about his dream, okay, or his dreams. And he says, what does it mean? What does it mean? All the magicians, all the counselors, all the wise men of Egypt said, I don't have anything. You got anything? Did you get that? What? I mean, yeah, I don't know. What are we going to tell them? We don't know. We don't know what it means. Well, Pharaoh's not happy with that. But there's a guy there serving him his beverage. And the cupbearer says, I am reminded of my shortcomings. It's like, I don't really want to remind him of when he threw me in prison because he was mad at me because the other guy he threw in there with me got killed. So I don't really want to bring up this subject. But I think I need to. He says, I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Back a long time ago, you got upset with a couple of us and you threw us in prison. And while we were there, the baker and I, sorry to bring him up, but the baker and I both had dreams and there was a young man in the prison who was able to interpret them for us. Pharaoh says, bring him to me. And so they go to get Joseph. Now, again, up to this point, Joseph has no idea. No idea that today's going to be any different. I mean, he's just doing what he's supposed to do that he does every day. And on this day, all of a sudden, some people come and say, Pharaoh wants to see you. Can you imagine? Pharaoh wants to see you. And so he shaves, and he changes clothes, and he goes to see Pharaoh right away. I mean, fast. And when he goes in to see Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, I hear that you can interpret dreams. What do you say in a moment like that? Yes, I can. You have come to the right place. It's not what he says. He says, no, I can't. But God can. He has learned a lot. When he was young, it was all about him. Now, it's about God. And he showed that he had already learned that when he was dealing with the baker and the cupbearer. When they said, we had these dreams we don't know how to interpret, he said to them, the interpretation belongs to God. He's the one you go to. He's the one who has the answers. You know why we go over and over and over the scriptures every day? To try and teach you that the answers are not with the grown-ups. The answers are not with the scholars. The answers are in God's word. We want you to know what God says. Because if you learn that, you will be able to find the answers wherever you go. He will always do everything he says, everything he's promised, he will bring to pass. And I want you to depend on him. Joseph says, I cannot do it, but God can. And then look at what he says. Verse 16, I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Pharaoh tells the story of the dreams. Verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. Verse 32. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Pharaoh doesn't get a vote. Pharaoh doesn't get a veto. Pharaoh is used to being the grand poobah. He is used to being the ruler. Everybody answers to him. He decides who lives, who dies. He's used to being the big boss. And now he's being confronted with the fact that no matter how big you are in the world, you are tiny before Almighty God. God has decided and he'll do it. That's what he says. And now, Joseph says, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Do you think Joseph had anybody in mind? He has just completely outshone all the supposedly discerning and wise men. Look at verse 8. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Joseph walks in. He says, I can't do it. God can do it. Here's the answer. Now, here's the strategy. Here's what you need to do going forward. And Pharaoh says, oh, where are we going to find anybody who can do better than this young man? And Joseph is put in charge. He's given the signet ring. That's like the checkbook with a stamp. Okay? He's in charge. Pharaoh says, look, I still get to keep the throne, but everything else is under your control. And in fact, nobody is to raise their hand or their foot. Nobody's to make a move without your say-so. You're the boss. So, Joseph is put in charge at age 30. Everything happens just as God said. Before the years of famine, verse 50, two sons were born to Joseph. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble in all my father's household. What does that mean? It means Joseph was trying hard to forget. It was a choice. He was deliberately forgetting. And he's saying, God has helped me to put that behind me and not obsess over that and think about that all the time. And then he had another son, Ephraim. And he said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my sojourn, in the land of my suffering. Don't you think for a minute that just because he becomes prime minister all those years before were easy? They weren't. Day after day after day, he had suffered. Day after day, he missed his family back home. He wanted to leave, and he couldn't. And it was years. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. Bad times are coming, but you can be prepared. Joseph had listened to God. He had practiced doing so, and he did the strategy that God put in his heart in order to make it possible for the people to have what they needed when times got bad. Folks, I'm not trying to tell you what's about to happen in this country, but I can tell you based on the authority of God's word, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And you and I need to be prepared to depend on God when things are tough. And the only way to get prepared to depend on God is to practice depending on God. I hope you'll be ready.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. You have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.